Hello, 1, 2. Okay, cool. It's a blessing to be back in this house with friends and family, and yeah, it's just amazing to be in this town. There's just a sense of home that I feel here that draws me back, and it's the Spirit and God moving, and yeah, it's a blessing to be here. I am Ray. You guys have probably seen Candace and I here. You guys remember us? Yeah, Miley's 14 now, Tiana's 5, and they are in Thailand doing school stuff, and the school semester runs differently, so they're in Thai school, and they're studying English and Thai at Thai school. It's a really cool opportunity for them, so I hope that they're teaching the Thai kids English and vice versa, but I miss them. I'll be returning back home in about 9 days, so I have a lot to talk about, but I want to try to keep it short. We work in the 1040 window. Two-thirds of the world's population lives in this area, and we have a heart to see Jesus be shared to unreached people groups. It's the heart, the thing that drives us is that. And we have an interest. We live in an interesting town because we live on the border of Burma and Thailand, and there's a bridge that goes over, a couple bridges that go over the river into Burma. We have seen God do some amazing things there. The thing that's really unique about that area is that there are about 140 people groups in Myanmar, 140 different people groups. And then there's the Thai, there's different people groups that live in Thailand. And they all kind of converge to this place because it's a border town. There's an economy there. There's promises of maybe jobs or maybe a better life. So you have all these internally displaced people that are from Burma coming in through this border. So we're on the border, and we get to share Jesus with them on the border. And then they get to take that back to their communities. So it's really, really unique. So you can imagine 145 to 150 people groups being able to hear the gospel and then go back into their nation. I'll tell you just a little bit of an update on Burma. Some of you guys know, some maybe not. They just kind of went through about a 65-year genocide and civil war. It was really, really bad for the people. The junta, the military government, would go into villages and just wreak havoc and burn down schools and houses and take children. And it was just horrible, like a control move to try to control the people. And we believed when God sent us into that area to pray and to worship and to believe in Him to bring freedom to the country. We really, really, really wanted to see it and really believed that He was going to do it. And He has. So the country has drastically changed in the last 2.5 years. It's been amazing. There's an elected democratic government that has been brought up. The military junta is now transferring power to them. Leadership to them. They're returning lands that once were that they seized. They're returning land back to the people. Political prisoners released. The country's borders have opened, where 15% of the nation was accessible before. 90% of the is accessible to us now. So we have the freedom to go. We were in the country knocking on the doors, you know, and now the doors have swung wide open. So that is just, it's a crazy testimony of what God has done to a nation. You know, when we were in there at the beginning, the people were like, God has forgotten us. He has forsaken us. There's nothing that could change our reality. And we just did not believe that. God was just leading us to press in and to believe that the impossible could be possible with Him. And we have seen it. And it's just an amazing testimony of believing in that. The cool thing is that, you know, when the junta, it was just at the height of what, the war, the battle and stuff against the people. I was just like, down with you. God, I just pray that you would, annihilate them. And in my silly childlike thoughts. And God's like, why don't you ask me what to pray for? Because they're my sons and daughters too, just like you are. And he said, you just need to pray that when they look down to the barrel of a gun, when they're about to do something horrible, horrific to the people in the villages, that they would see their family. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's better than my prayer. A little better than my prayer. So if fast forward again, I mean, we were in on the border town, you know, probably a couple months after that. And this guy in a restaurant, he's waiting at a table. He comes up to me. He says, "I just want to tell you my story. Like, we're different than other people, I guess." He just wanted to come and tell us that he was a military soldier for the Burmese military and that he couldn't do the unjust things that they were commanding him to do anymore. So he fled. And I was just like, oh, God is doing it. And we met another one and another one. So it's that's how we did it. You change it from the inside out. And he took some prayer and some faith in, yeah, we're looking at a different country right now. You know why? You know why he wants to do this stuff? Because he wants to take his ground back. He wants to take the land back again. He wanted Burma, and he's taking it back. And he wants to take this town back. And he wants to take the county back. The cities, state, the nation, government, he just wants it all back. So we have to believe that our prayers and our worship to the Father and our commitment to Him. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith because you believe. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. Clothed yourself in Christ. I would like that to be a little more evident in my life. You have let God consume you and have full access to you. Just cover you. Everything. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. We're all level. We're all level playing ground here. There's no this and there's no that. We're all here as sons and daughters. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs. And this is the thing that God really wants to get through. And I know you guys know this, but let's take it in today. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We need to understand that we are his children and the heirs of the Father of the promise. We are not just regular people, folks, brothers and sisters. We are heirs to a kingdom. And if you don't feel that today, I would just challenge you guys to get to a place, take the time that you need to come back to God to understand that we are heirs in a kingdom. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God made you also an heir. When I think of an heir, when I think, like, I'm royalty, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, God. We're royalty. We're set apart. It makes me sit differently. Makes me stand differently. I can't sit still. I can't sit still. It's just, for all of you in the back, that's good you're in the back, but I don't want to sit at the back anymore as an heir. Does that make sense? I don't want to sit in the back anymore. I want to be up front. Papa, call me, send me. Heirs. Romans 8, you guys don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but Romans 8, start with 14. For those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you an adoption to sonship, just reiterating. And in Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies we are Spirit, that we are, and we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. just trying to understand the perfect heart of God, the concept that He's teaching us here. When we understand on a kingdom level, when we wake up in the morning and we think that, we don't think, "Oh, I don't feel good. I got a lot to do. The world is just an immense amount of pressure. How do I navigate through the clouds of truth and untruth? How can I even do anything?" But the fact is that if you step out of bed and you say, "Actually, I'm an heir to the kingdom. I'm a son and I'm a daughter, and I actually have a commission. Good, you gave your lives to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Seriously. But we also have a commission." You know, when Jesus was hung on the cross and He went to the tomb, and then fast forwarding, to the tomb, rose again, comes back, says to His people, "Gather everyone." First thing, gather everyone. And then people gather. They're kind of confused. "Whoa, it's Jesus." I would have been freaked out probably too. And He says, "I commission you with all authority. All the authority that is under me, I commission you to go and share the good news." And I just pray that this weekend is a weekend of that. I just pray that this is a weekend of that. Get out into the city. Get out into the places. Know who you are. Know who you are. Those things that were not godly, that before that used to attract us, when you're an heir, doesn't seem that interesting anymore. Those things or lies that would take us into depression no longer have a hold on us, because we shake that stuff off. I'm using my shoulders a lot. You begin to want to do the right thing for God and for yourself, for your family. Immoral thoughts, they get disempowered, and you start to care a lot more about what God desires and a lot less about what you desire. You care a lot less about what you deserve and more about how you can serve Him. And, you know, that's where we're trying to posture ourselves. And again, this is an everyday deal. If you can't come to this place every day, man, you're going to be open. Going to be open for attack and open for the enemy to have his way on you. But if you're standing in airship, the enemy is going that way. Yeah. And just another thing, I just love this verse. It's in Titus 3. It's just a reminder. The people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of our rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And we poured out on us, He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We are in a kingdom, we're heirs, and there's a battle. And He wants us to be a warrior, victorious warrior with Him. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We need the armor. Ephesians 6:10. "Finally be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the enemy in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you can be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It says all occasions there. When I was a baby, I thought like a baby. When I was a baby Christian, I would teach, God's not concerned with everything. You know, you're going to go to the store to get some groceries. That's not a big deal. When you get to those big intersections, those big moments, those big life things, you know, then you should probably, you know, get some wisdom. But, you know, I can't believe I taught that. So, all occasions. It just means a life of calling upon Him with all kinds of prayers and requests. It says it's not too much. With all kinds. What do you got? All kinds. We're responsible for that stuff. We're responsible for what we ask for. We are. But it says, just come to me with all prayers and requests. With this in mind, we need to be alert. That's an important one. See, I feel like I get this stance when I start putting on the armor. You know, I get all built up. And I get a bit built up and I put the helmet and I'm... He doesn't know what I mean, right? You're getting ready for the day. You're getting ready for what you need to accomplish. But you're asking the Father to take care of the armor. God, I need you around me. And I always get this kind of stance of like, I have the shield out. And the sword is always drawn back. Not because I'm ready to attack people with my Christian. No, but I just get this stance of, this is the breastplate. And God's promise is that if I have this out, that the flaming arrows that are coming at me are just going away. I'm not open to attack. So sometimes it just helps me to have a stance. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just need to speak it out, and you don't have a shield here, but you do have the truth and God and protection, the Father. We're heirs. So you don't need to receive all the stuff that the enemy has. You begin to know, you begin to find your identity as an heir. The more you walk in it, and you also find your identity in the Father. Because there's this beautiful authority that He's given us. He is the great authority. And we are the ones that are waving the surrender flag. I can't do this. And you come underneath the authority. And then He gives you authority in there. But when you come out and you try to use authority, so there's this beautiful sonship, protected armor, understanding of His authority and who we are and who He's made us to be, that the Father just wants us to get, because He wants to take ground. He's calling us to take ground, to occupy. And taking ground, you know, that starts in our house. It starts in our relationships. And sometimes taking ground means you need to sit for a while and really focus on the Lord and get back, get right, get refueled and re-energized, renewed. Doesn't mean we just need to keep, I'm just moving forward. I'm just going to keep going. Doesn't mean that. He really wants us to understand this sonship and daughtership thing, so He can use us properly, so we can walk in His ways. Yeah. So I don't know, is that about how much time I got? Is that okay? It's a good word, and it's a good thing, because it's all about Him and us and His love for us. So we have a commission. He has commissioned us. So thank you guys for being a part of the commission that you're involved with in Southeast Asia with us. Weaverville Church touches into the world, reaches out and touches. Amen.
We guys just stand and we're going to just extend our hands to Ryan. Yeah, just bless him. Lord, we just thank you for their heart. Both of them, the heart of this family. Thank you for Ray's heart. Yeah. God, whatever you've given and poured out in this house, we pour out into their lives, into their ministry. We just speak favor over them. Financial and just kingdom favor would follow wherever they go. We're already seeing it, but you know, Lord, we just bless it. Say more. Yeah. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to take an offering for Ray and out for the movement that they're involved in. And I just love hearing Ray's heart. Yeah, I don't know if you guys all know their story and how it ran into our story, but we met at Leaders Advance and at dinner, I think. We just happened to be sitting. Yeah, Bill, of course, Bill, I think, introduced us. Yeah, from that moment, I just loved hearing their story and hearing their heart. And they just, how many years, 12? What did you say? 11 years. So they've been visiting short-term missions, and then 11 years ago decided, drop everything. We're going, which is a whole other story for another day, but it's pretty amazing. And so we're just gonna bless them financially. We don't all get to live on the border of Thailand and Burma, so we're gonna bless the people that are called there, and send them with some money. And so go ahead and just pass the baskets there, and throw some. You can make checks out to Mountain Chapel. And we'll make sure that we'll cut one check to him if you've got checks to write. So as those are going around, I have an announcement to make too. And then before we let you go and you can go get ready to go swimming and go to the pond. Ray actually set it up quite well. He's talking about getting in the right spot, being in the right place. And sometimes, I don't remember how you worded it, but it was good. Not just walking forward, but actually taking a moment and making sure that you're in the right spot. And for a while now, I'm going to get really serious for a second. So I know everybody's kind of riding, and I'm going to get serious. So just to let you know, that was your warning. We're going to get serious. For a while now, Shannon and I have had some disconnect in our marriage, and it's been a tough go, and we've been kind of watching that happen. And I'm sorry if you're a guest, but you just get to be part of the family this morning. This is how family works. And it's been some time. It's been a few years that we've been struggling, just being busy and just doing what Ray was so well, just walking forward, just doing what's in front of us and doing what we know that we are supposed to do, and really neglecting, you know, our connection. And this last year we just, you know, with Shannon's new job and just everything that's happening, just that disconnect grew and we found ourselves just real disconnected. And we also, you know, after it's been this summer, we'll have been 20 years of ministry, 20 years of full-time ministry. And so we got together with our elders and our team and agreed that we need to just take a step back. We need to work on our connection, work on reconnection, work on being healthy together, being where we should be. making sure this connection is what it should be in my heart, and of course Shannon too, and then this connection is where it should be, and really this is I owe you guys an apology because you haven't had my best because I let myself do that, just march forward and didn't protect my heart and didn't take care of this or this like I should have. And so we're going to do that. And for a season, we're going to be just stepping back, and we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be going to counseling, and we're going to be just getting back on track, and so that we can come back when we come back, it'll be who we can be, who you guys deserve, and with the strength that you guys deserve. And we don't feel like I don't feel like my calling has changed. I don't feel like I'm leaving. That's not what this is. But if this isn't right and this isn't right, then this can't be right. And so we're going to take however long it takes, you know, to make sure that this is right. And Dave is going to step in and step up, and our elders are going to step up, and with the help of Shelley and Tim and, of course, Shanna and Anna and everybody else. And so we're going to be around, but we're going to be pretty scarce. I've been thinking about it for at least a couple of days trying to remember, and I realize I'm pretty sure that in the 20 years I've been in ministry, pretty much my entire adult life, I started full-time ministry when I just turned 18 is when we moved to Mexico and started in full-time ministry. And I turned 38 this year. So 20 years ago, I can only remember twice being in a church service that I wasn't either a guest speaker or on staff. Two times in 20 years. And so we're gonna go. We're gonna be at Bethel some. We're gonna be at, on the coast some. And we're just gonna just go after God and gather up what we need and work on our connection. And of course, that includes our kids. And it's gonna be a good season. And Bethel is gonna help. And of course, you know, our team is gonna pour into you guys, but they're going to send strength, and like you guys experienced, those of you who were here last week, you know, just sending up their strength and stuff, and getting, I'm excited about you guys to have a good season too, and just what God's going to do. And I think that any time we step back and reprioritize, it's good. And so, I guess it's hard to kind of drop this on you guys. But it's going to be good. And when you think about us, just pray for us. And we'll be around. You'll see us and stuff. But just be praying for us. Be praying for our marriage and our connection to be. You know, we're not looking to go back to what we had before we were disconnected. We're looking to go forward to what we've never had. You know, we want to. And the same with, you know, with my relationship with God, and you know, we're not satisfied going back, and so that's not what we're doing. We're going forward. So just pray for us and pray for the team. Have extra grace for them in figuring out that everything that's got to be done and taking care of all the stuff, and just extra grace and for everybody. I know that trickles down to all you guys that do so much stuff and making Mount Chapel great and wonderful, and really, we love and appreciate you and our elders for just freeing us and letting us go and blessing us and loving us. And it's going to be a good season. It's going to be a good season. So, happy 4th of July. So, yeah. So, we'll be out at the pond with you guys swimming. And we'll be around. You guys will see us. But, yeah. Love you guys. Bless you. Sure. I just stepped away, so.
We love this family an awful lot. And I just want to say a word, kind of a tack on to what Raymond was saying. Raymond, in his message, he was talking about in Ephesians about the darts and the arrows that come and having our shield up. And, you know, I don't know probably any family, including my own, that isn't having some kind of a struggle that can be identified as the enemy. And, you know, it's time for each one of us to look around and realize, you know, the enemy is a very real power, and just coming to church does not make us safe. We're saved by the blood of Jesus, but the enemy is always looking to kick our leg out from under us. And I'm surprised that I'm up here, you know, trying to preach. that's not my intent. But I just want to, you know, just implore you all to look and see where the enemy is finding inroads into your family, into your life, and just see how God can change that, because He will. Yeah. Jesus came to, you know, to save and heal and deliver, and it doesn't just happen once. It goes on and on until we end up in heaven. Oh, yeah, yeah. And don't think, well, I said my prayer this morning, I don't need to think about it, I'll go off to work and do my... No. You just be checking in with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will keep you on track, and I'm done. Amen.
Why don't you extend your hands to them? Yeah. As Cameron said, there's no going backwards here. We're only going forward to bigger and better. This we declare that this marriage will be better than it ever has been. Brand spanking new, like a brand new car. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do. And we declare as a family that we will stand with them, that we will cover them, that they're not in this alone. Because they have a family. Yeah. So we commit that, and we commit them to you, Father. We thank you that you're doing a good work. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, well, we love you all. Hope to see you at the Walls' Pond. If you don't know where that is, come and talk to me. Or come talk to Shelly or Tom if he hasn't taken off to get ready yet. But talk to one of us, and we love you. And have a great, great 4th of July.